I'd like to turn to Psalm 40, the 40th Psalm, to read the first three verses, very familiar verses. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. The Psalms, of course, are songs that were sung by God's people, Israel. The Psalms in their entirety were basically a hymn book, similar to our hymn books. This particular psalm was written by David. And you'll notice the superscription, it says, to the chief musician, who was the director of the sacred music of the sanctuary, like a song leader today. From 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 31 and 32, we see that David had appointed these individuals, these chief musicians. There's actually 53, I believe, psalms that have this to the chief musician. But in this particular psalm, there's no setting or time period of the psalm is given. The psalmist simply begins the psalm with thanksgiving. As you read on, he offers himself a sacrifice to God because of the great deliverance that God had granted him. In the second part of the psalm, verses 11 through 17, he laments the distress that had come upon him, and he prayed for God's deliverance. The psalm is, in its entirety, is written as an encouragement for God's people to trust the Lord, to look to the Lord. In fact, we read there in verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, there is some dispute as to what is referred to in our text verses, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. There are those who believe that these verses, verses 1 through 3, refer to the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. And we can say amen to that. In verses 5 through 8 of the psalm, they are used in reference to Christ. They're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. So without a doubt, this psalm has some reference to Jesus Christ. We would not dispute that. There are also those who believe that verses 1 through 3 of our text, we simply speak of a time of helplessness in David's life, when God reached down and delivered him. And we can say amen to that as well. I believe that both of these applications are accurate. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ descended into the horrible pit of sin on my behalf, and that he was raised from it, and that he was set on high. I'm thankful that that is true. I'm also thankful that there is deliverance in God for you and I from a horrible pit and the miry clay. And we want to view these verses this morning as a story of the salvation of a sinner. Every one of us that are saved can identify with what we've read here this morning. I'm thankful that there was a time in my life when I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me, lifted me out of the pit, set my feet upon a rock. I'm thankful also that though God's people can still fall into pits, there are many pits in the world, but I'm thankful that God is still able to reach down and pull us out of those pits. I want to speak this morning on a story of rescue. And that's basically what we have here in these verses. A story of rescue. Stories of rescue interest a lot of people. They get people's attention. This is a story of the world's greatest rescue. And each one of us that are saved are a story of rescue. We have been rescued. Now he speaks here in verse 2 of a pit. And we want to look, first of all, at this pit. And then we want to look at the rescue from the pit. In verse 2, he speaks of a horrible pit. The word horrible conveys the idea of something that is awful, something that perhaps is horrific, vile, and unspeakable. A horrible pit. People today often use the word horrible when it doesn't refer to something horrible. Their sport team loses. Oh, that was horrible. No. That's the wrong word to use. So we need to realize what horrible really means. It is referred to as a pit, which is basically a hole in the ground, a dungeon. In those days, many times it would simply be an empty well, a pit. He goes on to say concerning this horrible pit that it consisted of miry clay. The word miry or mire speaks of heavy and deep mud and muck. It is what is referred to in 2 Peter 2 in verse 2 of what the hogs wallow in, the mire. So it speaks of filth. In this horrible pit was the miry clay, the filth, the vileness, pollution, contamination. Now all through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, we read of various pits. And what is said of these pits, by observing what is said of these pits, we can obtain a better picture of what David is talking about when he says, an horrible pit. Observe some of the pits. We'll just refer to the scriptures. We'll not take the time to turn there, but you can do that later. In Genesis 37 and verse 22, we read of the pit that Joseph was cast into. And it says that it was this pit that is in the wilderness. So the pit was not only a place of desolation. This particular pit was located in a desolate place. It was located in a deserted and remote place where it was not likely that the individual would be found in this pit. In Genesis 37 and verse 24, again, we read of the pit that Joseph was cast into. And it says the pit was empty and there was no water in it. That is a picture of deprivation. So the pit is a place of deprivation. We also read in Job 17 and verse 16, the bars of the pit. The bars of the pit. That presents a picture of a pit that is inescapable. It is a prison. In Job 33, verse 24, and also in Psalm 28 and verse 1, we read of going down into the pit. Going down into the pit. The idea is it is a place of gloom. It is a place of misery. It is a place of descent. You do not go up in the pit. You go down into the pit. It is a place of descent. In Job 33 and 28, it is suggested that the pit is a place of darkness. And in Psalm 55 and 23, we read again, down into the pit, but it says, down into the pit of destruction. So the pit is a place of ruin, a place of impoverishment. In Psalm 88 and verse 3, the pit is used in reference to the grave, revealing that it is a place of alienation, a place of lifelessness, a place of decay. In Proverbs 22 and verse 14, speaking of a particular sinful woman, it said that she is a deep pit. What that means is that the pit is cavernous, that it is extensive. We also read in Proverbs 23 and verse 27, again, of a sinful woman. We read of a narrow pit. That is, it is a confined and restricted place. In Isaiah 38 and verse 17, we read of the pit of corruption. So it is a place of degeneracy. It is a place of perversion. It is a place of wickedness. In Isaiah 38 and verse 18, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. That is, it is a place of despair. It is a place of despondency. It is a place where one is demoralized. In Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 43, we read of fear and the pit and the snare. So the pit is a place of terror. It's a place of anxiety. You're thrown into a narrow pit. You're not going to be calm. That's going to produce anxiety. It is a place of entrapment. From all of this, we see why David referred to it in our text as a horrible pit. Not as a pleasant pit, but as a horrible pit. And it is from this pit that every saved sinner has been rescued from. We read in Isaiah 51 in verse 1, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and the whole of the pit when ye are digged. Look to the hole of the pit in which ye have been rescued from. We must not forget the hole of the pit. It is in this pit that is described that every unsaved sinner is in as we speak. If you are here and unsaved today, you are in a horrible pit, and you are in the miry clay. That is where you live. To put it in plain English, you live in the hole of a ground, in the hole in a ground, filled with sludge, filled with filth. That's where you live. For you and I that are saved, we have been brought out of that pit. Now, this pit pictures the position of the unsaved sinner. If you're here and unsaved, it pictures your position right now. If you're here and saved, it pictures where you were. It serves as a picture of the depths, the darkness, the gloom, the misery, the extensiveness, the imprisonment, the despondency, and the ruin of sin and unrighteousness. It pictures the depths of alienation and of estrangement that the sinner is in. It is a picture of the depths of enmity. It is a picture of the depths of the rebellion and the bankruptcy and the helplessness in which the unsaved sinner is trapped. And if you are in that pit today, you are trapped there. Again, remember in Job, the bars of the pit. And even if you can make your way to the bars of that pit, you'll never break those bars. You'll never escape through the bars of that pit. This pit in miry clay is a picture of the depravity, the filth, the vileness of sin, in which the sinner is covered. The sinner is enmeshed in the miry clay, in the filth of sin. You and I that are saved, that is where we lived. But we don't live there anymore. But if you're here and unsaved, that is where you live today. I don't care what your mailing address is. You live in a hole in the ground. That's your life. That's where you live. How sad. How sad is the condition and the position of the unsaved sinner. You see, the unsaved sinner lives in the mire. If you will, he lives in the swampland of rebellion. He or she lives in the mire and the swampland of enmity and irreverence and rejection of God. They live in the mire of covetousness. They live in the mire of selfishness. And they live in the mire of stubbornness and hardness of heart and unbelief. This is where they live. The unsaved sinner is trapped in a hole. Not only trapped in a hole, but they are sinking in that mire and muck of sin. In other words, their condition is not getting any better. because it is a hole that is filled with mire and muck, sludge, and they're just sinking further and further into the grip of sin. That is where you and I that are saved, we were in that pit at one time. And again, if you're here and unsaved, you're trapped in this hole, sinking deeper and deeper. That makes your situation quite desperate. This horrible pit in miry clay is a picture of the wretchedness. It is a picture of the helplessness. And if you can picture this pit filled with mud, and the harder you try to climb, the further you sink. The more you struggle, the more you try to get out, the further you sink into that pit. It is a place of absolute helplessness. It is a place of great danger. The prisoners of this horrible pit in miry clay, they have no foothold. They just continue to descend into the mire and into the depravity of sin. That's why the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, because they just sink deeper and deeper into their own sin. They cannot escape by their own efforts. There is no arm of flesh able or long enough to reach down into this pit, or strong enough to pull a single individual out of this pit. And there are no mental faculties of mankind to figure a way out of this horrible pit. You can assemble the world's